opératoires, telles que Lalomi Washburn et dans notre deuxième heure, Betty Wright. Restez bien des nôtres on the Mothership Connection Funky Revolutions. On continue avec le hard funk, le filthy funk de Betty Davis dans notre première heure et la musique de Lalomi Washburn également. On a débuté l'émission avec des anciens chants d'amour du Tahiti et la musique de Jacqueline Taïb, chanson enregistrée en 1967, Le cœur au bout des doigts. On continue maintenant dans ce créneau des années 70, mais on va faire un léger détour vers le Pakistan et la chanteuse Nahid Akhtar, un grand succès et franc succès dans les années 70 et 80 comme chanteur de bande sonore à travers le Pakistan et parmi les plus grands films. Tiré du I Am Black Beauty, voici Naughty Boy.
Come here, naughty boy, naughty boy.
From their self-titled debut, Jimmy and Vella of 1974, a little bit of the Chica Boom to get us going on the hard funk, the female funk, the carnal funk, what some have called the filthy, freaky funk. Certainly around the work of Bette Davis and other strong singer, composer, producers who frayed the way for a more liberated and sexually affirming performance of the funk. Before that, Little Lan and I Gotta Have You, and Naheed Akhtar, great playback singer from Lollywood from the late 70s through the 80s. I Am Black Beauty, we heard Naughty Boy, giving us a little bit of that coquettish side of the music that we'll be listening today, and started with Jacqueline Taïb, Le Coeur au bout des doigts. Our theme has been their music was hot, carnal female funk of the 1970s. And in our last program, we really started to focus on Bette Davis, who for me is really the most iconic figure of that kind of filthy, freaky funk, that hard funk, what she called the raw funk. She recognized that she was different, that she affirmed herself, and that her music was on another level of funk. And it's that other level, that hard, sensual, sexual funk that we continue exploring today. Just ending the last elements of things that we wanted to look at with Bette Davis. To get a sense of just how radical a performer she was, how shocking her performance, her self-affirmation, sensuality, and sexuality was in 1972 and 1973, I thought I'd play a clip from Penthouse journalist Vernon Gibbs, who in the early 70s was in New York to cover her music, reading from a review of one of Bette Davis's first shows, taken from the documentary Bette, They Say I'm Different, released in 2017.
Seeing Bette Davis for the first time is like seeing your first X-rated movie when you were expecting Walt Disney. The audience at New York's bottom line is staring straight ahead in mute shock. The innuendo of illusion that has come to represent the rock concert stage is here denuded to a hot night in the bordello, where a long-legged, deliciously devourable female sings lusty songs.
I just say it was raw.
Night,
If I'm in luck, I might get picked up. The opening track to her self-titled debut album, Bette Davis, in 1973. My name is Khalid, and this is Funky Revolutions as we pay tribute to a woman who, in describing the historical kind of context, the blues at the roots of her music and her framework for authenticity, for rawness, would also describe herself in that context as a piece of sweet sugar cane. Bette Davis on Funky Revolutions in our second part in our series. Their music was hot, carnal female funk from the 1970s. We complete our listen to Bette Davis, who really for me is one of the great hard funkers of any epoch. Uncompromising, libidinal, beyond suggestion in terms of how she played, performed, and wrote. I have great admiration for this woman whose recording career, as we've discovered in our last episode, began in the mid-60s with a couple of singles under her name, maiden name, Bette Marbury. And she would then keep this name, her marriage name, with Miles Davis, and had a very, really short explosion of the hard funk in the 1970s, starting in 1973 with this album we just heard, Bette Davis, and then ending with the third official release in 1975, Nasty Girl. Of course, we played music from uncovered, unreleased music in a series from Light in the Attic Record Company, and they've announced since her death last February they will be putting out one last album of material that was recorded, because she basically recorded a couple of albums in 1976 and then disappeared, went to Japan, did some performance and recording work there. And there was also, against this background, mental health issues that she had to deal with when she returned to the United States, and really disappeared even for her entourage and fellow members from the funk house band that she'd put together to record her albums, especially the second, third, fourth, and fifth ones. But at the root of her music, that rawness, that next level of funk, there was a definite theme in what she wrote and what she said in the few interviews that she did give in the course of her career. The image of the South, of nature, of songs of birds and the blues danced and played in the living room by her grandparents. And that theme, the down-home girl, well, it was one of her first recordings in the 68-69 period when she went to Columbia Studios, where Miles Davis recorded, produced some demo work to see if Columbia would be interested in releasing her work. He would continue encouraging her to work, and in fact they collaborated on at least one or two songs that appears later in her life in the mid-70s. From the Columbia sessions, Light in the Attic, in doing the retrospective a few years ago, put out the Columbia Years, where you get to hear some outtakes, her trying to begin to hone her work, and you get in this next track a sense of how she worked. This was, you know, humming out, strutting out what she wanted players to do as she composed her songs. You'll also hear a little bit of Miles Davis. This is the period where they were married for basically a year. The theme of Down Home Girl comes back. The very first track she would record in 1973 when she went to the Bay Area to record with former Sly and the Family Stone members and emerging artists like the Pointer Sisters, Walking Down the Road. This theme repeats itself when you listen to her music over time. We'll go to this short period that is the demo transmission period from her early work in the mid-60s to what really is the hardcore, scandalous, filthy, freaky funk of Bette Davis. This is the roots of it that she sings about on Down Home Girl.
I was born in a little shack down in Mississippi. I was raised on a lot of soul. When I hear James Brown, I get that good feeling. I gets right down to the nitty gritty. Just a damn hunger. I said I'm a damn hunger.
The Ukrainian National Federation presents a benefit concert for Ukraine featuring live performances by the Barr Brothers, so-called Dumai Dinai, and Mumorosi. All proceeds go to the Canada-Ukraine Foundation. Taking place Saturday, April 16th at the Ukraine National Federation. 405 Fairmount Avenue West. Doors at 6 p.m., music at 7:30. Tickets will be on sale at the door, and advance tickets can be purchased at thepointofsale.com/tickets/UKRAIDE. Tickets are $30 in advance and $40 at the door. Merch from St. Javelin will also be on sale at the event. Join us for this very special community event in support of Ukraine. Sponsored by Circa Distilleries and CKUT. You are never alone.
Ready, and I'm willing, and I'm able to love you if you want me to, so get ready for me. Things gonna do just wanna do for that line. You practically repeat the same thing for that line, you know.
It's just like a repeat of, well, get ready for me, because I'm ready for you. You better hold on, because here I come. Well, sock to me,
let's
you
try,
know?
Let's try from the top.
Okay, so okay.
No. What's Jim Mendick's drummer name? The one they call Mitch?
An outtake of another Bette Davis composition that she was demoing with Miles Davis, then her husband, at Columbia Studios. From the Columbia years 68 to 1969, I Am Ready, Willing, and Able. Among other documentaries that you might be interested in, including the most recent in 2017, Bette, They Say I'm Different, there's also the Mike Judd Tales from the Tour Bus series. When he looked at funk, his last chapter was on Bette Davis. It's also quite interesting. What you learn from reading about her and her obituaries, there was no willingness to compromise. And one of the things that she said, the difficulties she had, was that it was essentially white men trying to tell her how to dress, how to tone down her performative art and vision. Bette Davis, she actually not only constructed and reflected on the funk, performed it, but she also reflected on, you know, precisely these kinds of issues. And away from the image, the smooth Motown soul image of love, sorrow, and heartbreak, she was going for the anti-love song. This back in 1973.
No, I don't want to love you. Cause I know how you are. That's why I've been staying away from you. That's why I haven't called you. Cause I know you could possess my body. I know you could make me scrawl. I know you could have me shaking. I know you could have me climbing walls. That's why I don't want to love you. Cause I know how you are. Sure, you say you're right on and you're righteous. But with me, I know you'd be right off. Cause you know I could possess your body too, don't you? You know I could make you crawl. And just as hard as I'd fall for you, boy, well, you know you'd fall for me harder. That's why I don't wanna love you. You do to my heart, you'd scorch it just like a hot iron. Oh, leave me burning alone in the dark. Cause I know you could make me suffer. I know you could drive me mad. I know you just take me in a circle. And when it got real, I knew you'd disappear. That's why I ain't gonna love you. Cause I know you like to be in charge. And with me, well, you know you couldn't control it, don't you? Cause you know I'd make you drop your guard. I'm
That's Bette Davis. Bette writes, produces, and directs, and hey, I guess you do a little bit in everything in terms of your music, huh?
Yeah.
Bette, how's come we haven't really had an opportunity to see you perform? Now, you've been recording for quite a while.
People, they only see the surface part of the music business, you see. They don't know what's going on. And it's not all glamour, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not all starlights. I've known a lot of musicians, and I know a lot of pain.
I see. Mm. Well, but if you had to categorize your music in a word, well, could you? What would you say?
I'd just say it was raw.
Talk trash to me.
I'll keep your heart and dry.
Talk trash to me.
I'll be a desert sun.
Bit of trash to me.
Do whatever you wanna do to me.
Talk trash to me, baby.
Be free, I don't care.
Talk trash to me.
Tell me what gets you off.
Talking trash
I'll run your fingers through my bushy hair. Tell you.
Tell me, baby, till my head flies.
I'll talk trash to you. I'll talk trash to you, man. I'll talk trash to you till your head flies.
Talking Trash from 1975's Nasty Gal, Bette Davis, in her prime, talking all that trash. Filthy, freaky funk, as some have described it. The raw funk, another level funk, the hard funk from Bette Davis, both in performance, in spirit, in attitude, in that kind of proto-punk delivery. We pay tribute to Bette Davis, who passed away at the age of 77 this last February 9th. Some of the hardest funk ever, 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 ever. I thought I would leave you, before we move on, to some of her contemporaries, women who I place in the same category in terms of their double funking and in terms of their control over their songwriting, their career, and the image that they decided to put out. Before we get there, this is one of the last tracks composed by Bette Davis, released a couple of years ago, performed by a friend of hers, Danielle Maggio, A Little Bit Hot Tonight.
Ah!
a little bit hot tonight. Last song written by Bette Davis a couple of years ago, performed by a friend, Danielle Maggio, on Funky Revolutions, as we finish our tribute to Bette Davis, the heart of what we're calling their music was hot, carnal female funk from the 1970s. I've tried to kind of rationalize or understand the kind of exclusion and shock that Bette Davis's music, performance, and personality on stage engendered, the backlash to just an overt female expression of desire, satisfaction, sensual and sexual, especially in a genre of music that is about the belly rub often, and that has both a tradition of lascivious innuendo and suggestion in the blues and rhythm and blues, and where a funk style, a funk gyration dominated by men was already quite explicit. But I think you'll understand in the next hour as we look at the career as well of, for example, Sylvia Robertson, that sensuality was permitted, but not so much a woman in control. Among the obituaries and reflections on Bette Davis, many people have pointed out how she was groundbreaking for women artists in that sense, and even men, I would say, well before the 80s and 90s scandals of people like Madonna. We've gotten a long way to being able to have artists like Janelle Monáe on her Dirty Computer album in 2018 put out this song and video, Pink. Among the strong women who are this wave of hot music in the 1970s and who didn't shy away from the carnal aspects of music, and in fact, for them, it was the essence of it. And what I'm interested in is how many of these women were songwriters, producers, had a real clear vision of what they were trying to do. We just heard from Lalomi Washburn. The Songs was actually released in 1996, and that was a Try My Love, a kind of minor dance floor hit in the earlier 90s from Lalomi Washburn, a woman whose music you know and have heard in the mouths of many other artists. A long career of writing music, producing some music, and funking it. She helped define the double funk and double funking of funk music. She really had one spectacular album released in 1977, My Music is Hot. And it's this album that helps define this kind of continuity in hard funk, carnal funk of women like Bette Davis. And now, as we're going to hear, Lalomi Washburn. On Funky Revolutions, we'll be back after these brief messages.
BTW and live theater is back. Black Theater Workshop and La Manufacture present Pipeline. We are back after 2 years with a dual language presentation of the off-Broadway hit Pipeline by Dominique Morisseau, translation by Mishka Lavigne. Pipeline shares the story of Nia, a single mother and teacher dedicated to the success of her students and her teenage son Omari. Tensions are mounting at his school, and Nia must find a way to rediscover her connection with her son and his connection with himself. Pipeline will be presented at Théâtre La Licorne from April 12th to 23rd in English and April 26th to May 8th in French. For tickets, call 514-523-2246 or visit théâtrelalicorne.com. This is a Black Theater Workshop production and a CKUT co-presentation.
This is it! Fuck y'all! This is it! Right!
Carnal female funk.
I believe in love, and I believe in sex.
From the 1970s. Join us on the Mothership Connection Funky Revolutions, Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m., those women who celebrated their sexuality in music, featuring Bette Davis, Lalomi Washburn, and Sylvia, among others. Their music was hot.
I just say it was raw.